This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello, everybody. This is the EA meeting on September 18th. The meeting is called to order at 12:19. Are there any late additions to the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. So if we could first look at the 8:21 meeting minutes. Thank you very much. Minutes have been approved for 8:21 and the minutes for 9:04, September 4th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Minutes approved. Thank you very much. Okay, moving on to the report from the chair. Before I get started, I did want to present certificates to show everybody.
Thank you. I appreciate the Bose. Yeah, Bose is wonderful. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. So, Greg and I had a meeting with Mary. It went very well. We did discuss a lot of the survey replies that were given back to the employee survey response team. Most of the talk was surrounding the wellness, professional development recommendation. Mary had a lot of good things to say about all the recommendations, and this one in particular is a good recommendation. The administration would have loved to have approved it. However, the feeling was is that this was perhaps the wrong request at the wrong time, and that perhaps if it had been just wellness, it would have been received more positively. The reasoning behind that is that with the workload, and more importantly, the workload in balance, or the balance of workloads in some locations, were a big issue, and that the units and departments could not afford to have staff working less hours in the week at this particular time. And I think we can all reflect on that and agree that maybe that's a really good point. A lot of staff members are feeling overwhelmed, and to allow those who request it more time off is just not good timing. But the take back was, what ways can we promote other forms of achieving wellness? And there are lots of ways out there that folks can work on this, and also that the university administration feels that there are already several personal development programs in place, and that they are committed to allowing staff to do these, and that more importantly, looking at the flexible schedules whenever possible. So, very good feedback from Mary in those regards. Does anybody have any questions, comments?
Did anything come up about the, just in the flexible work piece, the components about the issue about exempt versus non-exempt employees, and kind of that not necessarily being a level playing field in terms of if I'm hourly, I have to make up my time with exempt, don't necessarily have to.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, do you have a comment there, Greg?
Well, we talked a little bit about consistency of policy, consistency of policy application, which I think is sort of the root of some of the other issues we've been talking about here when it's, you know, health and personal leave and those sorts of things. And I think the consistency of policy, it didn't seem like they were, Mary was a big fan of supporting the idea that we should be consistent across the board too much, because what we have to do is be consistent to the lowest denominator, most restrictive part, to be consistent and fair. So I think Mary sort of got to this idea of individual work-life balance. We often talk about work-life balance and wellness and personal development, but what does work-life balance mean on an individual level? You know, how do you sort of fit the needs of sort of the individual? Because work-life balance to me is utterly different to work-life balance to you. So we sort of touched on it definitely, but I don't know, it wasn't like a big point of discussion.
It wasn't, other than just, you know, asking folks to recommit to the policy that's already in place about whenever possible allowing employees to work a flexible schedule.
One of the other things we touched on, too, is this idea of wellness in the workplace. You know, what we do with our housekeepers in the morning. You know, they go through a 5 to 10 minute stretch activity, 15 minute stretch activity, so that they prevent workplace injury. Are there things that we can provide people with, things you can do at your desk while you're sort of sitting there? Are there, you know, things you can do while walking to and from a meeting that may be increasing your sort of wellness activity through the routine tasks of your daily work life? Mm-hmm. And Mary sort of, I think she liked that idea of how do we incorporate more, you know, Beth can probably speak more to that sort of concept, but the wellness in the workplace and how do we do that more effectively or communicate those messages at a broader level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other comments? Yes. She is, and I've reached out to her office and have not heard back from them yet as to when that's going to be. Hopefully soon. I was hoping early November, maybe late October. So if the president's address is October 1st, it would be nice to have her come visit us shortly thereafter. Maybe we can continue this discussion. The other agenda item with Mary was when we will be having the next employee survey. Mary suggested, and I did reach out to Marin Clarksburg on the survey timeline. Mary also suggested that it would perhaps be ideal to poll staff, faculty, and also non-professional academic folks at the same time or a similar timeline so that that could be all done at the same time. Marin had some very big concerns. Concerns doing that. She felt that it would be very hard to pull off three surveys at the same time, to give enough time to look at all the results and get that data back out to people in a timely way. Okay. There's currently a lot of talk going on about the non-professional academic folks and where do they fall and who are we actually talking about. And that's actually something that is on the employee survey response team's agenda for the next meeting. Thanks to Beth, she's pulled together a lot of information on that, and we'll be looking at that very closely, making sure that they feel that they are being represented and heard. And Tanya also pointed out that there was confusion last time as to who actually was supposed to be taking the staff survey. So hopefully that some of this would be kind of ironed out and maybe some more communications going out to folks about what actual.
Yeah, I think there needs to be better understanding for the non-professorial academic folks that they are staff, they're not faculty, and they don't necessarily think that they are. They don't take an income, but they operate more like faculty.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if I'm allowed to talk.
Of course you are.
I'm Dr. Kinney, and I'm representing the employee survey team with this comment. We are hopefully getting responses from the non-professorial academic segment, and just in my opinion, I just want to share with the EA, I think that their issues are very different. Mm-hmm. And so if the EA really takes a big embrace of representing this group, it could open up a whole new adventure. That's all I wanted to say, because they're grant funded, they're research associates, they have a different kind of work and a different kind of way to move up in the corporation, so to speak. And I don't know them for sure, but once we get that information, Bridget will bring it back because she's on the employee survey team.
But as Tanya pointed out, we do represent them. And so...
So do we need to... Some of the things that I'm thinking about is maybe we need to be more active in seeking out membership. And I know that you're thinking about that.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe a revisit to our charter or bylaws, and just like we have a slot or a seat designated for Geneva, that we consider a slot or two slots designated for academic nonprofit board.
Well, that would be my position. I mean, I'd love to have the door open so I could push further with the committee. But in saying that, if we're going to be really representing them, because at present they don't think we do, and yet their discussions or brains think in a completely different way than a regular employee, regardless of exempt or non-exempt. I mean, that in itself, you can't even compare an exempt staff to some of these lecturers and principal investigators. They don't even think they're in the same ballpark. And so if we're going to do that, then we probably need to have them on the employee assembly having designated seats and representation as well, which is how I would probably be able to wrangle them in.
Okay. So we'll be meeting on the 30th, correct, Beth? And then I would suggest that the EA exec board look at this a little closer and come back to the assembly with some suggestions. Yes.
We're going to try to include them on the board. I know we've talked before about New York City Tech Campus.
Yes.
And Yale Medical College. We should try to bring all those groups
at the same time. Wild doesn't fall under our umbrella, and I think the president's made that clear in the past, but the Tech Campus will. I just don't know how many people are actively there yet and thinking about this.
There might be some of these weird lecture people.
I think the future is just there, but in the future, if it's bigger, once they're more established, they'll automatically have that on the door.
Yeah, our charter has to come. When I was looking up the info yesterday, our charter does only say that we cover up in Geneva, so Tech Campus will have to be added to that.
Okay, so work on updating the charter. Any other comments, concerns? Okay. So that kind of brings us down to the employee survey, and the additional information from Marin was that back in 2011, when the first survey was administered, institutional and research planning was envisioning a 3-year cycle for the survey, which means then we would have one in 2014, in the fall of 14, which is right around the corner. The other consideration is if we were to move it in line with the faculty survey, it would be 2016, and they're on a 5-year cycle. And I see Curtis shaking his head. Do you have a...
I like maybe a 5, but I don't think they should go with anything. Whatever the result of the faculty would be, I'll show.
I mean, I don't think they will be able to do both. I mean, I like the idea maybe of, so like maybe we might say 4 years for this one, then go on a 5-year cycle. But I don't think that two surveys being administered at once, the result coming at once, is we're going to be shallow.
Okay.
I might think in the faculty situation might be more static to allow them to be every 5 years.
Yeah.
The employee hired is more dynamic and should be addressed more often.
I mean, the turnover is greater than it is on the faculty side.
More hit with the economics than the faculty.
I don't know if the generic point was to align our survey with the faculty survey so that they're staff, or what is it, the academic non-professorial staff would feel like they were being surveyed at the same time.
Are you sliding them into faculty then?
No.
Well,
that's what people don't want. I mean, I hate to say it that way, like they don't want them in their their group.
Yeah.
They're not tenure track faculty yet.
But is there, so is there a casualty, because obviously a lot of the issues that are more specific to this staff population are different than academic staff population, that maybe there needs to be a separate survey for them that could run simultaneously with faculty, since their issues more closely align, I think, with faculty than they do with staff.
I mean, in theory, they are academic staff. So, you know.
I mean,
that is
going to be different.
Completely different.
But I think that before we jump to that, we need to figure out how we're going to represent them.
Well,
because the worst thing is, we don't want to create a survey and don't do anything with the survey results. Mm-hmm. Because that's how you get people really unengaged with it.
What if the employee survey had two sections? One for the academic non-professorial staff and one for the regular staff. No? I mean, to me, it makes sense that if they have completely different issues,
do we have to represent them?
Well, that's a really good question. Why are they not represented by the faculty?
I mean, they
the
faculty don't represent them.
Because you can't be on tenure unless you're tenure.
But usually, from a historical basis, they're here for a certain amount of time, correct?
Lecturer, senior lecturer.
Principal investigators, senior research associates. I mean, it's
a big group.
It's a massive group, and they all certainly do not compare themselves to us. So, I mean, that's just basic. And they eventually will completely go into tenure track world, or they actively seek to stay outside of it within the staff academic world. It's completely different needs.
Right. I mean, their professional development, their calendars,
their way of thinking over.
Yeah. All of them.
Yes, David.
They just form their own committee. They can bring any issues they have to us. So we kind of indirectly help them represent them. That way they're not actually.
I mean, we could have a separate committee, and then they have their representatives here as well. But then again, I mean.
So to Curtis's point.
Well, I'm thinking, can this be a UA question?
Maybe that's a better spot.
That's an idea?
Can be. I mean, I'm all for representation.
It does. I think it really does. Although they are,
we represent them.
Right.
So I think we need to either state the case that we're not representing them because they're not at the table with us, and they need to either be at the table with us, or we need to say we should not represent them, and because their issues are still widely different, just like the faculty senate is separate and the student assembly and the graduate professional assembly.
Well, could I see and test the water to see if they're actually even interested in being brought into our lovely little bowl?
Yeah.
So
how do you even get at them?
Oh, that's not possible.
Is there anyone who represents them as a whole now?
No. I can certainly, because I've discussed this with some of them, where they've been, oh my God, Pillar, this sounds great, everything you're doing, so where can I do things, and who am I representing? I emailed, we had this communication, and if I clearly tell them they can be represented within us, and see if they actually feel comfortable with us, and then bring them in, I mean, it opens up my possibilities of pulling in people. It's not a problem.
Are they organized at any level that you're aware of?
I know some of them will be brought into depending on their specialties in that area. So you might have some of the scientific ones maybe within a biosecurity committee. And I don't know how they're being classified within that.
Right, right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it is more towards the faculty part. And others, but again, it's specialized to their
right.
interest.
Right. But as a group, they're not represented.
No, they're all very, very, very. And again, as I say,
it's kind of homeless.
Yeah, and if they're foreign, they will be supported with the ISO as an academic.
Right.
I think one of the interesting things at that point is the complexities that will be introduced into this group with the level of understanding of zero to small on our end. Are we really the best group to represent them?
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that's a question that we have to ask ourselves. excuse me, my English today. Ask ourselves. So. I don't know. I don't think it's anything we're going to solve today.
No.
But I think it's a discussion we should continue to have. I think, you know, we should also engage, you know, Joe Burns and their side of things to understand what the resistance from the faculty is, besides, excuse me, to include them in their poll, even as a subcommittee of the faculty senate, you know, they could have their own little
mm-hmm.
group that could just report. Because it seems like that's a much better world.
And I think if we, you know, take the students and the model, you know, you've got the undergraduate students and then you've got the graduate
mm-hmm.
students, their issues are different.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's the faculty senate and then the academic professorial.
Mm-hmm. And it's a large group. We're talking about 1,000, over 1,000 people.
Yeah.
So it's larger than a group. We're not just talking about 50. It's a huge group.
Yeah.
All right, so we will put that on the agenda for further discussion. And
a lot, just as a side of that, a lot of their employees that are hired that work for them feel like they're ignored because they go to the lab and they're trapped there.
And, Pilar, are you maybe able to reach out to a couple of folks and see if they'd be willing to come in and be part of that discussion?
I will.
Okay, great. Thank you. So back to the survey timeline, and you know maybe that's something that could change, but I think that we really need to get moving on what we as the EA would prefer as a timeline of a 3-year, 4-year, 5-year. I think that Tanya brings up a very good point, that with the way things change around here, I think a 3-year cycle would not be unreasonable. And even though the fall of 2014 is coming up, and we feel that we are still kind of waiting on the announcement of the responses, I still think that that should not keep us from going ahead and having another survey. which, by the way, I also talked to Mary about getting a communication out from the president's office, and that should be coming out soon. The response to the survey team worked closely with that office and has our recommendation in for what we would like to have the announcement include, and that should be coming out soon. So back to the timeline. Yes, sir.
Who will pay for this survey?
The university paid for it.
The university paid for it.
I thought that first one was from the president's office.
I think they
pay. I don't know if he committed to paying for the rest of on the
timeline? I don't think the expense never came up as a point of discussion for Mary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not only did, but when we were doing it, because we had to make paper copies and stuff because employees didn't have access. Remember that?
It was
a very expensive service, actually. And I remember at first they would just say they'll pick up the call, but I don't know if they're committed.
Well, I wouldn't see that being an EA. I mean, that would have to be so. I mean, I think the highest level gets committed to doing it. I mean, it's a university survey. They made very clear the EA was the catalyst for it, but by no means is it our survey. I mean, we didn't even.
Well, yes and no. So Mary made the comment that she was not the client, that actually the EA is the client.
said we should have gotten all of the data from the survey.
I know.
So that's all
good point.
Well, I'm saying that we'll never marry and pay for it. I like the 3 years.
It's like taking a panel on somebody's blood in a short time and it changes so quickly over time.
I feel like the 3 year window sort of keeps the pressure on the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just about finally got ourselves back and get a formal address and we're ready to do it again. Mm-hmm. And maybe going forward, they actually move a little quicker. And
well, I think, too, in fairness, they have an infrastructure now in place to maybe respond to and handle some of those, you know, feedback components, and I think the response maybe in the second go-around, because it's already mobilized, it's organized to some extent, you know, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, and some of the concerns are already being addressed. I mean, there's been ongoing work happening. I think...
I would say we were able to create the survey and decide, well, what are we surveying? And there's a different period of time for different surveys. For example, in 2014, would that be a right time for those who know how to do these things to say, be a right time to survey the response to the other survey? Or is this an across-the-board survey covering everything? Or does that data, well, I see that things change. Maybe certain parts of the 2011 survey don't change that much. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. So maybe a more targeted survey in 3 years, 2014, would be advisable versus coming up with the entire survey before attitudes that may not change that rapidly, but some thought would be given. What would this really be value added to know about in 2014 that we didn't ask about in 2011? So I don't think we should keep in mind the same exact survey model. It would be quite different. And if you run it on different, you know, every 5 years you might want to do, you know, a giant thing. Every 3 years you might want to check in, or whatever it might work out to be.
I would say my concern with doing it in 2014 is that we're just going to announce the results, really, the proposals now, and, you know, we sit on those committees. Some of those things aren't going to fully implement until, you know, the end of this year, the beginning of next year. So we're going to be surveying people just as we're putting out, and we're starting to put some of these programs in place. So I kind of like Alan's idea about maybe looking at components of it, but... Yes, I in theory like the 3 year idea, but maybe in this first iteration of doing it again, we may maybe delay a year to give some time for people to actually see.
I think 2015 would be a bad year though. I mean, I do, because that's the centennial, that faculty survey coming up that I just really think that if you do something with the staff's not going to have a voice.
I thought they were 16.
No, I heard it was 15.
I don't remember. 16. The faculty next one is 2016.
Is it spring though?
Fall.
Oh. Okay. Yes. I need some guidance from people who do service. I don't know if there is a survey person here. Well, he's no longer here. Well, I have some guidance. So, you know, how these things are done, what makes sense, is there a cycle that one does, you know, is it component part? Maybe some specific parts of the response to the survey, not every part trying to make this point.
Well,
time for everything, so maybe you need a survey about it.
Well, going back to Marin's response, was that when it was done in 2011, it was very much envisioned that a 3 year cycle would be very helpful. And at the same time, I take your points about maybe adjusting the survey somewhat. But also, it was to also be a benchmarking type of survey.
The experts say everything should be repeated every 3 years, and that's something to go to the administration and say,
Beth, you had a comment.
I'd like to reflect on something Tanya said, which talked about waiting for the employee survey team action to happen, and just say that doing the survey itself was an action. And then all the communication, all the results, everything that happened, as soon as that went out, all the department Focus groups. So a lot has happened.
Yeah.
And so there's still more happening, and the survey team is coming up with more global ideas that we're rolling out. And so I think a snapshot of the shift in culture, which we hope something has changed between 3 years ago and the fiscal year 14, fall 14, we hope to see that something has changed even without all of the the particular things that the employee survey team is coming up with.
And maybe it's worth knowing that, we're still upset because we feel nothing's happened. Maybe that's going to be some of the replies, and maybe that's legitimate to hear from the staff.
Or maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Michelle, did you have a comment?
Well, and again, it's the timing of the last survey, a lot of people were apprehensive to even answer, so you may have a lot better response this time around.
Mm-hmm. More positive responses is what you're,
More honest responses.
All right, well, I would like to suggest that I will continue the conversation with Marin and Mary regarding this, and that the consensus sounds like we don't necessarily feel that it needs to be the same timeline as the faculty.
Yeah.
We need to answer some questions about the non-professorial academic folks, and that a 3-year timeline sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Unless you put 3 years on to a vote,
I think we can, maybe we can add that to a later date, does anybody want to?
Maybe just put a resolution together.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
That spells out our desire to do one every 3 years, starting on this date, map it out for them for the next 30 years, so they know, put it into the record, and have the president either accept it or
to look at our original resolutions, I think it might have had a time frame in
there. Good
idea. I think we did say every 3 or 4 years.
Okay. All right, good idea. So that is on the to-do list. Just lastly, real quick, there was a UA meeting held on 9/10. It was mainly an overview of the last year and the goals. And I would suggest if anybody is at all interested in joining the meeting, please do. It is just fantastic to see this in motion. I think that Jim Blair is just...
runs the best meeting I've
ever been to.
Anyone ever. The only guy that was better was Dave Call. He used to be dean of the Ag school years ago.
Yeah, he should be
getting... it was even quicker.
He should be getting paid. Yeah. Okay. The UA meeting, the University Assembly meeting, that's held on, their schedule's online. It's held Tuesday evening, and as far as we know, there's one scheduled for next Tuesday at 4:30 here in this room. Very interesting. Speaking
of... the goal is to get down to one meeting a month rather than two. And he may well pull it off. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes. He had some really good suggestions for everybody, all the members. One great suggestion, as we were talking about resolutions, was that perhaps starting off in a paper form, and there is a format online on the assembly page, correct? Is that where he got that? The format. starting it off just in the paper form and then bringing it to the assembly before moving forward and officially submitting it as a resolution. Because the resolutions are numbered, and if you kind of get started on one and you just kind of just drop it, then that number goes away, and then maybe people looking back may be like, what happened to resolution 3, 4, and 5? It just went from 1, 2 to 6. So that's just a suggestion to throw out there for folks. Moving on to new business. Well, actually, old business is the committee appointment update from PR.
So I did manage since last time plug in one more person, another one that's working with their supervisor. That question of understanding the non, the academic staff. And there's one person I want to touch base, but she's not here today on some committee things as well. So hopefully progressing. I have asked and received, seeing a few emails of new committee members asking when the dates for meetings were, so that is something they'd like to see. I'm guessing when the meetings are actually set and it would be online as well.
If there's not a meeting schedule, because some of them have it.
Okay.
And we are, we need to appoint
to the EA.
To the UA.
Oh, the UA.
The we need to appoint a couple of positions in the Infrastructure Committee
and the
Welfare Committee.
Yeah.
So the Infrastructure Committee needs two people appointed from the EA, and they don't have to be EA members. So if anybody out there feels like they know someone that would be good in that role, that would be great. And the Welfare Committee needs one.
Wow.
So I really would like to get those filled soon. Okay, moving on to the, I'm sorry, were you done?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, okay.
President's address. Eric, so you had brought up the suggestion that perhaps we could do a small poll, mainly about how they actually heard about the address.
Yeah, I missed the last one, so I don't know what the question was that they were holding, and if there wasn't communication for the extrication, right? So, I mean, this time around, we could do something similar to like how they heard about the President's trip with word of mouth, whether it was from the flyers or from all branches, et cetera. I think that'd be valuable information for my opinion to know if we're, what kind of effect we're having across the communication. And I was thinking, maybe instead of a like, multiple choice, just have one line, you know, how did you hear about this? How did you hear about the President's address? Write it in, and then get that information back to me.
Yeah, I think when we did the last poll, we had lists, clipboards with lists. So rather than handing people out, we were just doing it, just asking folks. Is that?
Yeah, that's how we did it. We just had a list of, you know, paw print.
Can we do it as a drawing or something, or they just put it in a box and we have clips there?
The problem is, then we got to bring pencils.
Yeah.
What if we did a show of hands?
I was just going to say,
before you have
another sandwich,
you
just
anchor
questions. One of the other questions I pondered was, you know, is this your first time you've come for the address, or do you come every year? I'm just curious if we just get the same people every year, or if we're getting some new people. Pardon? Yeah. So, Eric, would you mind making up just a little formatted polling questions with some places for people to just do hash marks, and we'll just have a few people doing the sampling? Does that sound fair to everybody?
Can I volunteer for that?
You should come. That's good. Because we're also looking for two mic wranglers.
Yeah,
who wants to be a mic wrangler?
Mic.
Yay! Tanya? How about Michelle? Would you like to? Would you
I'd
like?
Rather not.
Okay.
I'm not that public.
I do find Mike Rayleigh, but I'm not officially there.
Well, you can still volunteer.
Yeah, for
volunteering. Okay, that was a prerequisite for volunteering.
Okay.
There we go.
We got to have a microphone in someone's face.
Are we all set with the lunch, Greg, or do we need?
We're not all set yet, but we will be.
Okay.
Just making the lunch.
Right.
Dollar Sound bagels or our own. And then
Do you need someone making PB&J?
Yeah.
Do you need an apple on
it?
Actually, no.
I think
Joe volunteered
to do that.
Not you, Joe. The other Joe.
Oh, okay. Where are the Joe?
Okay, well, don't be sad. Don't be sad because we have two more positions that we need filled, and that is, I did talk to them about trying to get folks down front and closing off some sections. He said actually what works very best is that the two main entrances going into the seating area, if two people could be stationed there as ushers and just really kind of asking people to move down front. So we need two people to do that.
That's at the beginning.
Yeah, that's at the beginning. So Michelle and Curtis? Okay.
I think a lot of us can probably even do that. Yeah. There's going to be so many of us. And then kind of take back as it's going.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I can have caution tape from the rest.
Yeah, right. You know what? What works, I mean, we do it in the theater, but what works really well, you just tape off those, just take even masking tape and tape those end of seats and just say, oh, we're not seeing anybody here.
Yeah. Okay.
Amazing.
And then Tanya, you're working on the program?
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Amy, what do you want? Or am I, or you want to just send over the old one?
I got to give you the account number unless you have some last year.
I probably do, but
okay.
Not all.
Send it over. Send it in my office this evening.
Okay. Any other... Yes.
I have a question. For the president's address, can we or whomever's on the stage, would the president make an announcement that we have a new election policy? I think that would be a very helpful. Remember now our elections are done in January? January. And that might be so after you see this, if you guys are really interested in getting involved, election information is going to be coming out.
I mean,
in all honesty,
you need
this one
I am definitely feeling the cold come on that day. No.
You'll be fine.
Or am I?
Is anybody really anxious? Would anybody really love to get up and be the MC? You would, Dave?
Of course.
Oh my God, are you serious?
Yeah.
You don't
want to
do it.
Are
you serious?
Yeah.
I think you need to do it.
Yeah.
I talked to my doctor, and if I get a note, no.
I still have to do it.
Now, I will do it. Maybe you can.
Make sure everyone makes
you can. Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. What? Okay. I will.
It's preparatory for the presentation for the trustees.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you're never getting anyone to help you with that either. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do it for the trustees, so do it kind of fast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I would appreciate Dave and I can work on some things together. Now, back to Curtis's suggestion, do we really feel that that's the format to make that announcement? I mean,
I think in your part of your welcome, it's not a bad thing to say. I mean, maybe not necessarily go with the whole thing about elections, just to say, you know, the EA presents you with a wonderful opportunity to get involved. And, you know, we'll have elections coming up in January, but see any of the EA members,
mm-hmm.
you know, outside, or their names and emails are on the thing if you want to reach out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you
put it on the back of the program?
It is on the
program.
And all the EA meetings are open.
Right. Right.
And we will be wearing our red polo shirts.
We have name tags.
Yeah, maybe if you don't have the polo, or if you'd like to just wear a red shirt, that would be great.
We can wear red.
Yeah.
We can wear red
dress. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we're all wearing red dresses. Okay,
red dress.
Yes, Eric. Yes, it will be live. Yep, on the Cornelcast.
It looks really good on the screen.
Looks good on the screen.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're good.
Okay, guys. If it's okay with everybody, I would like to move the...
Wait,
I've got a
question.
I'm sorry, guys.
Do we maybe want to explore using the ID scanners?
to try to collect data. Data is a powerful tool when used properly. Like they do, you know, when you have a student function, they can swipe their student ID, and you can mine that data to understand maybe where your folks are coming from.
Hmm.
You think students don't carry their ID? Staff don't carry their ID.
They should.
And do you know when they're machine that loves you get a backlog truck and it's hell? I'm running a career fair.
I mean, I've done 450 person events, no problem, and ID checks at the same time.
So Greg's in charge of the ID. Okay. There you go.
I just think it would be maybe a useful tool to capture that data.
That is powerful.
You can know how many people come from certain parts of campus, where we can target where we don't have people coming from, where we have holes, where we don't have holes. I mean, it's market research in real time, and it's something I think we struggle with understanding where our reach is.
But did we get any of the data from last year?
I'm pretty sure that Al, stick it in my head, he was. Sent it. I can go once, but I thought he sent something.
That's a really interesting idea. I'm not too sure.
The other thing we asked, and I don't remember who got this for us last year, but transportation will let us have parking in the garage.
We can ask.
The garage and hot. Because I think that was a nice option for people.
No, that's a good idea. All right. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good idea. Good. Well, let's talk some more about that and see what we can come up with. Okay. Any other comments on the president's address? Okay. And if it's okay with everybody, I would like to move the EA membership up on the agenda so that we can get that done. I don't want to not be able to get to that today. So we do have information from BJ. Sorry, what is it again?
Siasoko.
Thank you. did everybody get a copy of that? It was up front on the table. And also, I was hoping that BJ might say a few words about. If you wouldn't mind saying just a few words about your background and why you would like to be a member.
Sure. So I've been here, this is the beginning of my 11th year, my year anniversary of work with such an internet company, so it's been a reason why I was here. But I came in as a student, I stayed on as a local community member working at the Science Center and a few other arrangements. I was most recently working at Big College before I came here. So I've slowly become a local. I grew up in Wisconsin, so this place is very familiar to me. As a student, I was pretty involved on campus, and I've just been involved with this session. So now that I've been here for about a year, I kind of know what I'm doing for my job, I guess. I figured I can kind of branch out and start to become involved in the professional community as well, too. And so I know this guy right here, he's like, we should come to this place. We've been meeting now that you've been here for a little bit. And so I came with Curtis, and it seems like something I'd like to be involved with. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Do we have any questions for DJ?
Well, did you get the little continent?
I wanted to do all seven before I was 30. The last one was Antarctica and South America, and so the water is very cold. but it is 48 hours on a boat crossing the trip. So I basically was kayaking through, we spent 5 days there, and I was kayaking through most of the day. Lots of penguins, sea seals, sea whales. I want to go back. I'm very much a bullet. I think that's the other reason why I've been able to stay here for a while is I really like being outdoors. And so I didn't add on here, I thought I did, but I also work at Cornell Outdoor Education, so I'm still there with the Team and Leadership Center out there. I just got scars trying to do that for a little report. I do like being outside this past summer too. I was just in South Africa and Botswana, so I want to live in the bush or in the middle of Antarctica, but I think I have a little bit more technology for me to
What's that? I said it's kind of like a
mix. It's a little bit of both. Yeah. It was actually warmer in Antarctica than it was back home in Wisconsin when we were there, so that was very rare to see. I was wearing a t-shirt, and my relatives and family were like, on the luck of the year. So Wisconsin is the most cold place on Earth.
Any other questions for BJ? BJ, would you mind just stepping up for a moment so we can go ahead and have discussion and take a vote?
Yes,
sir.
Do you want to vote by paper ballot or do you want to vote?
Mm-hmm. Okay, really think any comments and concerns about...
Is that off?
Turn that off if you're going to go off.
Right. All right. Congratulations, BJ. We're happy to have you join us. I wanted to move back then, if everybody's okay with it, back to the budget update and the CARE Fund update, because they're kind of really important. We need to talk about that today.
Mike Power, nice to meet you.
I still owe you something about reporting, kind of.
Yeah, so right now the budget, I have built
it. CARE report, so.
Yeah, Mike's been working with CIT. I can see the budget, have access to it, but I have no access to it, so I have no visibility, and it's been a request a couple weeks ago, so as long as you can keep pushing CIT, I think it is right to be great.
Yeah, we should get on the phone together so I can see how far you can get into this. Because I had to learn it myself. It's the most god-awful financial system I've ever encountered. What we're stuck with.
So just to keep in the back of our mind, because this just seems like it's a consistent problem every year to get the finance chair access.
I asked for it in May. So
right. So, I mean... He can't do what he needs to do, so we can figure out whatever the problem is and, like, get it automated. That's just my opinion. I just feel like it's always the same struggle.
So what is it?
So I don't want to tax the staff of the assembly, but, I mean, it's going to change every year. I like consistency. I mean, I don't see why Amy or whoever in your office can't have access to it. I mean, that's the whole point is.
Well, I do.
So.
But you should, too.
Access is one thing, but just exporting and sending me a report like I do on my budgets, I don't need, if it's a role of being fiscal and responsibility, I don't need to be an accountant doing the transaction. That's my thought. I mean, let's just cut to that and say we have the support of the assembly staff like Amy, then every 2 weeks we just generate the report of our year-to-date if I line it. It's not very hard to do. So I don't have to answer that right now, but if you already have access and you're doing this for all these assemblies.
I mean, the EA doesn't function like some of the other assemblies, like the SA and the DPSA, when, like, say, Pilar wants to order lunch for her committee, whatever. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't come to me to ask. She would come to you. You would look it up online, see if her committee has it in the budget. But that's not really how the EA works. I mean, I pretty much spend all the EA's money.
Yeah, so let's...
Oh, so now we
know. You did the transactions for us.
Yeah.
If I'm the governing body to approve the request, that's fine.
It should not be a problem to generate a report for everything.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
But I'm having my hand held by our finance guy, who's the real one. Expert at this, so I'll work with him.
What I recommend, anybody moving forward that wants to spend any money relative to the EA budget, they send me the email, I'll check, see if it meets the criteria, and approve it. If it's outside the normal parameters, I'll go to the executive committee for an exception, or it needs to be transferred, or whatever we might do. So I don't really need to talk to CIT and have it. I think as long as we've got a constant, like Amy, that's doing the transactional process.
I would suggest this, Joe. We'll generate a report and send it to you the day before every meeting. Mm-hmm. Do you have a chance to review it before the meeting? Does that make sense?
Well, quite frankly, it's not confidential. At least electronically, email it to the executive staff.
Right.
If I'm not there, right, these couple people here can say, I have my eyes on it and there's no red flag. That's right. So
perhaps
just put on your calendar every 2 weeks, please. Just
right.
Excellent. work.
Just leave the budget update on the agenda.
So whether I'm here or not for the physical meeting, I think at least the committee will have that visibility instead of trying to hunt down CIT year after year with us.
Would it make sense to just include it in the minutes that gets sent out so that we would have it?
It's like you and other boards and other nonprofits and stuff. You typically have a financial report out. It would just be taking the bottom line.
Good. Then can we move on to the CARE Fund?
So that's a good segue. deficit spending. So the CARE Fund, what I did was, as we all were busy at the end of the academic year, knowing we had other things going on, just to back up. So my goal for me, my goal in the employee assembly was to get the CARE Fund endowed. I don't have the time to help people with the auction, and Aaron Kelly and them are doing a wonderful job year after year and other things. Our goal was just to back up. Some of us had met with Mary Opperman, we met with Charlie Flegler, we got the Potomac two-step kind of thing, and then we brought it up here, which we have the audio version. So the audio version of what the president and has said about that is still to be interpreted, and I can share that audio file again in the minutes and seconds. I just haven't redone it. Whatever we thought that the president said and whatever they thought they said is for debate, but the reality is that it's a fund that is in a deficit, and it never raises enough money to fulfill $25,000 we confirmed from the EA. You guys, I shared the email thread of the history and the tax or the overhead payroll. So I'm in as much of the loop as you are, other than I met with Aaron and Kelly a couple days ago. And please help me understand the chain of command. Will you elaborate, please? But Aaron reports to...
So here's my understanding. I'm the co-chair of the CARE Fund Committee. The CARE Fund Committee is a group of people who get the applications and decide who is the recipient. Then we have a little sub-fundraising committee, and Erin has taken the lead on that. I'm on her committee, and it's not very formalized. We're doing the best that we can. It's a lot of work.
Last year, I don't have the numbers, but remember 2 years ago, let's say it was roughly 8,000 is raised. Mm-hmm. I think last year was half, or it was, and they had issues with the website and so forth. So I'm not here to talk about the nuts and bolts of how to fundraise and where to fundraise, other than it's a fund that I think we all agree that is good for the Cornell community and it competes with the United Way. And I learned from Aaron Kelly that they have to work with whatever office, let's say at Day Hall or something, where you can only release your solicitations around the United Way campaign and other things like that. So to help correct me if I... Wrong, right?
He's checking on that. Yeah. We don't want to step on the United Way.
They're making an ask for the United Way of Pompous County. So just to go back to this, there's a couple of things going on. One is, I have no problem re-listening to the tape and trying to have a meeting with Bridget and Tanya or whoever, Greg, whoever wants to be, just to reinterpret what we thought we heard and what I thought I heard at that meeting. And Gillespie was there, somebody was there, was like, yes, there's no way it's going to be endowed in the near future, but I will take care of overseeing that we do the gap funding of $25,000 a year. Again, I'm paraphrasing in so many words that I understood it that the administration was year after year just going to help fund the $25,000. And there were a lot of heads in that meeting that were agreeing that. And then when we went to call it out, it was completely not what was, again, you go to a meeting, you hear things, it's not what was understood. So there needs to be clarity on what the administration is going to do, and Mary Opperman, as I look at the resolution that Bridget was nice enough to share, it looks like this was approved a few years ago. It's a fiscal responsibility under human resources.
My understanding is a little bit different.
Yeah, and again, it's interpretive. Yeah.
But when this switched over from being under EA to being under Lynette Chappell-Williams, where it probably still resides, she oversees everything about it, but she's not responsible for funding it. The committee itself is responsible for funding it, and the EA, according to this, maintains representation on the CARE Fund. And also, just so that the group knows, we are running a deficit, and after last
$6,900 right now.
Yeah, and we ended the fiscal year in a deficit. It was amazing. Like, nobody called me up for money, but they told us recently you cannot spend any more of this money. I did go to Human Resources roughly a year ago and ask them to help cover some of it, and they do not have any funding to cover it. The answer was no.
So we're not allowed to award any new requests. Is that correct? The committee, the awarding committee, is not allowed. You have X amount pending, I think.
We don't. We might have one pending. Okay. Yeah.
But you should almost shut the website down and not even take false sense of hope that we can help somebody out in the community if there's actually no funding. And I'm almost done. I'll let the committee talk. So again, a couple things need to happen. And so my role in the EA, I mean, I might not help hand out lunches every week or this and that, but I at least would like to help take care of this thing while I'm here. And that is work with the administration to find a in perpetuity some kind of revenue stream to fund it. Okay. And anything above that that the fundraising arm does, like the auctions or other things, is just surplus funding to help the community. And the course of action is to listen to the audio tape as a group. We all have it. Amy was kind enough to share it in my inbox. I still have the copy of it. And have a candid conversation, maybe just you and Mary, I don't know, just to revisit it. And then after that, we need to talk about right now. We're in the hole and can't help our people in our community. So that's where I'm at. I'm game with whoever wants to do what, help out, but I want to make sure I got clarity on the facts. And Erin Kelly, when I met with Erin Kelly a couple of days ago, she asked, I didn't see a problem with it, I gave her the idea, was at the president's address, she can set up a 6-foot table and start adding awareness of the CARE Fund to the community just so they know about it. And Bridget was nice enough to bring the payroll deduction form so you have to create a CARE Fund. If people wanted to, I believe Erin's idea was if every employee or whatever wanted to do like $1 deduction per month or something, that would just take care of every year in perpetuity our own community funding. So there's different ideas and all that. And I'll stop right there. David, wanted to comment.
Why does United Way be president somewhere else and not president?
I don't know if it's president. I can't, other than that, everybody has different solicitation cycles. So I don't know what there's a fiscal drive. I don't know what their calendar is. But anybody can answer that? They've been here a lot longer than I have.
That's my question.
What's that?
You get mine before that, so that
I
might
I calculate to get an energy station. And unfortunately, it seems that priority. I can't imagine.
It's a town gown.
It's a town gown.
Right.
It's a really important thing for the university to be supportive of that. I mean, I think the
care more than our care.
They're all good ideas.
They're
it's
all
just.
Can't
this
go out for us before United Way?
I don't know. I don't want to speak because Erin was willing to come in the future meeting, by the way. If you have follow-up on agenda, we can invite Erin Kelly to talk about the fundraising arm. She's the one in contact, and Beth has the history. I just wanted to, the CARE Fund somehow falls under the EA's responsibility to the Cornell community. I just want to make sure we're helping them properly fund it. But Cornell, we do know, I do remember from this last year, United Way overhead, the GNA administrative cost of the United Way Congress County is paid by the Cornell administration, so that when you do give the $100, your $100 actually goes to the, is not taxed or is not given any overhead element. That $200 does go to the community. So I do know that. I don't know what that costs Cornell. Now that'd be a question I'd ask Mary is, how much does it cost Cornell to pay for the United Way GNA expense?
So I don't think that the people who do the United Way transactions for Cornell are sitting here and only doing that. They're doing it as a component of their work.
No, that's true. They're all in the University Business Service Center. I was involved with United Way until recently, and Cornell picks up some of that expense. The other pace setter organizations, I don't know if IC is one, Thompson Trust, mm-hmm. Some of the bigger ones. So I think they all throw funds in just to take care of the administrative costs.
So what's our piece? So right, so within that, my question would be to Cornell.
How much is ours?
What does Cornell University contribute to that bucket?
Right.
And for the CARE Fund that serves wonderful, again, wonderful cause, we're looking for $25,000 a year in operating budget to allocate. And Beth, correct me, I mean, about $25,000 seems to be the number we got from last, when Gemma was here and Linda, but yeah.
So a couple of thoughts that I have that may be helpful for us. I don't think that the CARE Fund can be part of the United Way stuff, but we could look into us being an organization as part of Dump and Run
Mm-hmm. And the way, everybody knows jump and run, but you know how it works? So essentially what happens is that organizations can say, we want money from jump and run, and they have to commit so many man hours. And however many man hours you commit, that's the percentage of funding that your group gets out of it.
Sweat equity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like green stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so you have to have a minimum of 100 man hours to essentially buy in. But like United Way got $2,500 out of that.
Again, so that's a wonderful idea, but that's a fundraising idea.
Right.
So I wanna not speak for the fundraising arm here, who's not here. I want to talk about what our responsibility is as the governing body that supports us, and then work with those ideas. That's just my thought. What are we going to leave this meeting with on the agenda next time? And
so
who do we talk to about what? That's what
we were still working on the endowment, and I thought we got shot down when we went back and approached Mary about this.
They're right. Well,
that's not
shot
said.
Down. Misinterpretation of
okay.
what thought was said at that meeting in April, mm-hmm. May, and then you know our jobs got busy and we took some wrong. So we're back mm-hmm. to
put them into the budget line.
See all the EA's budget and then.
Just a few more minutes.
One thing that I think that the EA can and should do in having a conversation with Mary is that we should get exempt from that 10%. That if it's either FNA or if it's Frank, I don't know if it's disabled. Well, you can lower your FNA. So it could be either or of those things, but I think we should even get the right resolution to say, why are we charging to help people?
Oh, I support that.
So that's just
50 cents.
Because
that,
like you said.
I think we have to revisit what that now is, what is the resolution on. I don't understand having to do anything with the administrative system. It's totally tax law driven.
It's tax law.
When our university
yeah.
is giving money to an employee, and we went, myself, Barbara Baird, investigated that with payroll at the time, and they were affirmed that they had to take certain payroll deductions,
mm-hmm.
so they grossed it up. You could give somebody $1,000 and deduct that, or you could give somebody $1,000 and add it. That's a choice. So if you're going to net somebody $1,000 that they were granted, then you have to gross that up to take care of payroll deductions required by law. The law interprets of money from an employer to an employee as compensation. It assumes
mm-hmm.
that employers are not giving gifts
mm-hmm.
to employees. Right? Now, you can challenge that. You know, there may be more. You go to tax lawyers to get interpretation. There's still the notion that any of there is some sort of administrative
yeah.
law from the payroll.
I'd be curious if like child care grants get hit with that 10%. I mean, I know I get taxed on it at the end of the year, but I'm curious to know if that 10%, because that 10% is what workers' comp and that kind of stuff.
Right. So it certainly deserves further effort. We, on the care committee, tried to look into it, and certainly happy to really look into it. But I think the point Joe is making is, how is this thing going to be funded? I don't understand this to be an EA funding responsibility.
That's the
resolution
seems to
me to suggest the opposite.
Yeah, I read it a little while ago.
It
seems
under
the HR assumes responsibility.
Fiscal
responsibility.
Or the funds.
They
agree
to manage and oversee it.
It goes a little bit further in the resolution, though, and I don't disagree. Those of us who are there have that understanding. But be that as it may, I don't know if you understand what the EA, whatever else it says.
Yeah, but did you at the time, Alan, think when they put that over and then zero to that budget?
I really didn't, but now I'm reading the resolution in black and white. I think the interpretation of what that means from Mary is in order.
Despite
whatever the presidency said at that meeting.
I don't get into that. Yeah.
This is the operative document. Is that a change? Is that real? But Joe is raising the point, which I agree with, difference in fundraising and difference in sustaining the funds. If there's some way to sustain
mm-hmm.
the funds and then also fundraise, whether it's something fun,
mm-hmm.
Auction, whatever it might be.
I like the idea of voluntary contributions, like the United Way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a plug taken out of your
care fund side has to click here to deduct. You don't have to fill out a form. You go right online, and you click that form, and you can then deduct however much you want. I certainly agree. It's always the case that with 9,500 faculty staff here, the numbers always work. A dollar so-and-so from everybody always answers. Sure. And certainly when $25,000 would be issued,
right.
You know, that's pretty easy on that basis.
And that's a fundraising opportunity, again.
That's a fundraising opportunity.
Versus the university always knowing that every year is the fiscal year, but the committee can do its good work and allocate $25,000.
Well, guys, we are out of time, and I just want to say that we could follow up with a meeting, Joe, and try to hammer that out, how we want to move forward. Okay. All right. Real quickly, if I may, I just wanted to bring up the October 2nd meeting, which will be the day after the President's address, and I would like a consensus on whether or not we should hold a meeting that day, or if people feel that with the President's address, your time commitments and such, that maybe we would cancel that meeting. All in favor of canceling the meeting? Nope. More discussion?
Wait.
Oh.
This table says hold it. This one says cancel. So.
You can come.
Right. I mean, you have to be assigned to them. But I don't think we should just say no. I'm sure there's going to be things that come up and ideas we can work.
Okay.
We even talk about informally the election.
Okay.
So maybe can the executive committee think about what in its agenda would be if there are things that you would want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
or if you don't think we have something to talk about.
Okay, then we will send out some emails and get going on that then. Do you have a motion to adjourn? Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.